Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Hi, this morning. Hey, it's sunny out here in California. Good morning and happy everything. Happy, happy all things to you because you joined in to the Global Vision for Living Today's show. You want to hear what thus saith the world, what thus saith the Lord, and you want to hear something from your heart. And the reason why is because the show topic today is, has any progress been made by man apart from the creator of the universe? Everybody is going around talking. They're walking and talking mostly about nothing because the Bible says in Jeremiah 10:23 that it does not belong to man who is walking upright to direct his own steps. Somebody needs to get out of here with that scripture. They were coming up to Jeremiah with all kind of talk, all kind of uncalled for or unsolicited conversation. And of course, they were wrong because within 20, 30, 40 years, they were dead. So whatever they had to say went with them. No more conversation from them. So anybody that wants to refute that scripture, go right ahead, because as we look out, yeah, we see a lot of concrete buildings. We see automobiles. We see different types of food. We see it all. But is that real progress? Man still has got to eat to live. It appears he got to take a whole mountain of drugs to continue to exist. He's got to stay out of the rain before he dies of hypothermia. I could go on and on and on, and he better not try to starve himself to death. Has man made any progress apart from the creator? No. He doesn't know how to direct his own steps, or we would not be in this mess we are in now. It really is true. The words of Jesus Christ when he said, follow me. Follow me. He wasn't trying to be no big shot. He already was that. He didn't have anything to prove. Follow me. So our topic today, has any progress been made by man standing away and apart from the creator of the universe? I know if I make a dress, you know, on a sewing machine, I know all about that fabric. I know all about where those stitches are going to go. I know what's going to happen if I make a wrong turn and the stitches end up in the salvage section. I already know all about that. So the creator of the universe knows all about us. Oh, my God. And he knows how to direct us. So right now, I see we have Colonel William Harrison, Dr. Harrison, Second Union Baptist Church, presiding pastor. He's with us again today. And I see you guys are hopping. I just love you so much because you really want to hear whatever is being said. And you ain't going to get nothing but something said to help you live a better life. Colonel Harrison, how are you this morning?
Doing great, Dr. Capitina. Thank you for asking. I pray all is well with you especially, and secondly, the listening audience.
Oh, thank you so much. That is so kind of you. Well, this show really is going to be an eye-opener. Why am I calling it an eye-opener? Because everyone is running around on two feet, either thinking they're God, they're going to be God, they're going to be talking like God, they're going to be teaching like God, they're going to be preaching like God, they're going to be eating like a God. It ain't happening. What's going on out here? Why does it appear that man cannot get nothing right? He can't regulate the stars in heaven. They're talking the submarines is messing up. Can't control climate change. And they cannot stop death. What seems to be the problem?
Dr. Capitina, I'll begin with a famous old proverb from the third greatest king of the country Israel. His name was Solomon. He says in the book of Proverbs, there is a way about man that seems right, but the end leads to destruction. Man, meaning woman, include woman, leaning into their own understanding instead of seeking the Creator, searching out for the Creator and those who know the Creator, following his directions. Who is the Creator? The great Jehovah is the Creator, following his directions. He lays it out for us. You had referenced Jeremiah 10:23. Briefly, I'll reference Jeremiah 29:11. God Jehovah says through Jeremiah the prophet, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God has our life laid out from the beginning, from the end, from the womb to the tomb. We got to tap into God Jehovah, the Creator, and follow his directions.
My God, that sure is true. Well, why do you think man continues to follow his own direction without seeking any input from the one who said, "Let us make man"? Oh, I sure want to know, obey, and act right in the presence of someone that is saying, and I can't even see him, "Let us make man in our image." Why are we continuing to strive against any power like that? Superpower, supreme power, everlasting power, eternal power from someone or something that says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, and apart from me, there is no one." What is our problem as humans with a life expectancy of 70, 80 with special mightiness? What is our problem? We have a problem going up against that type of power.
There are two principal kingdoms that exist today, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. The problem with mankind is the majority lean into their own understanding, which is influenced by the kingdom of Satan. God has already laid out the script, as I said a moment ago, but kingdom of Satan. Satan intercedes and he places false thoughts and false directions or false guidance and all those things in our path. And then we have a choice whether we want to follow the rulership and guidance of God or follow the rulership and guidance of Satan. And so that's where we are. Most people are torn between two kingdoms because Satan heavily influences the kingdom of earth. But God's kingdom is a righteous kingdom. It's a heavenly kingdom, and it's a kingdom without end. And it seems as if we have a challenge when it comes to deciding to do that which is right versus more eagerly being willing to do that which is wrong in God's eyesight.
But what do you think God is doing? What is he thinking? I mean, can we look out at the world events and say, "Oops, there it is. This is God talking. This is his doing. He's sick of us." Oh, yeah, he is. What do you think he is thinking?
Clearly, God wishes, he says, in Peter's letter, 2 Peter, that he wishes not should perish, but all come unto repentance, all be forgiven of their sins, all follow his directions, follow his guidance, follow his path. But he allows mankind to make their own decisions because mankind was created in the image of the Godhead, and mankind was given free will to decide what we want to do, how, where, when, with whom, and so forth and so on. And so the problem with mankind is that we have free will. We're free will creative beings, but we tend to make the wrong choices because God's not going to compel me to seek him. He's not going to compel me to follow him. He's not going to compel me to believe in him. He's not going to compel me to trust in him. He's going to leave it up to me because I have free will to decide whether I want to follow him or follow Satan. And so free will has gotten in the way and is calling mankind to fall in the world to sin.
Well, you know, you have just said a lot in a nutshell, but you have some of these ex-gen people, new millennial people. They're even saying outright that there is no God. There is no God. There are Bibles, there's scriptural pieces of what you would call manuscripts that are proving every day that the flood really did happen. Sodom and Gomorrah really was destroyed. There really was a woman who turned to salt. There really was a man named Saul who turned on King David. I mean, these things are coming up almost on a daily basis. But why do you think a vast majority, they don't know about that? They don't know about the Bible. In certain countries, they're burning Bibles and just doing all kind of atrocities to erase God. There's no way we can erase God. We're erasing ourselves in the process, but yeah, there's no way. Why is it our younger generation is not interested? Most of them, because I just heard 1 in 6 millennial X-gen, whatever that is, they're identifying as LGBT or Q or whatever that is. There are 1 in 6 are now saying they're gay, and they're not interested in the birth gender at the time of their birth. They don't care. That's scary. Where have these people been? What have they been taught? Have they set up in any church? I doubt it. 1 in 6 are now identifying as members of the gay, LGBT, whatever, community. What has happened when a person decides, I don't want to be a man anymore, I'm really a woman? I don't want to be a woman anymore. My mama knew I was a boy. Now, but they don't have the, excuse me, they don't have the genitalia to prove anything that they're saying. So right now, along with their conversation, many are having their genitalia cut off and pushed back in to make other body parts. And the ones that do have a female body part is having the male counterpart sewn in there. What has happened? What is happening? What has brought this on from a God that said, let us make man in our image. Let us make man. So what has happened? Who's reading that? Does anybody care about that in Genesis? What is happening?
I'll begin with Proverbs 22:6. Again, King Solomon says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I didn't know him personally, but I heard of a great, great, great pastor, spent some 50 years, West Coast pastor, the late Bishop James Howard Mims, 50 years preaching and teaching the word of God, and Pastor Price and a whole lot of other great pastors now have passed on. If we don't train our children up in the knowledge and the admonition and the ways and the understanding of the fact there is a God and who God is and how God will sustain them and so forth and so on, they will grow up and they'll be just as they are today. They're confused. Leviticus chapter 18 says clearly it's an abomination for a man to lay with a man and a woman to lay with a woman, or a man or a woman to lay with an animal. They have not been taught. I was taught. I trust you've been taught. Others have been taught. And so we take that teaching from our parents. We apply it to our understanding. We get the Bible, and we seek more understanding, and we learn the way that God wants man, woman, and child to live. Joshua, at the end of Joshua's generation, and I would end after this, Joshua, the people became lost because the children became lost because the people stopped teaching them about God, and that became a loss generation, and they committed all kinds of abomination. The same today, we have a lost generation because they haven't been taught the word of God, who Jehovah is, and so they're committing all kinds of abomination and confusion as to their gender and who they really are.
Oh my, that sounds scary, because you said who they really are. That's very scary. And I'm going back to Genesis, since we're really putting these scriptures out there. When he said, let us make man in our image, thousands of years later, not the next day, here comes a woman named Eve. And he said, lay down. And he took the rib and he created out of that. a lot of people know that story. They haven't examined it fully to say, I'm going to follow the Bible. I'm not gonna go off after the strange gods, which we know the early Israelites did. And then, oops, there it is. There came their downfall. He said, I watched them go after strange gods. What are some of the strange gods moving about on earth right now, 2021? There are some strange ones. But Dr. Harrison, can you name some of these strange gods that people follow and continue to follow and worship all at the same time? Name some strange gods of the 21st century.
One of the notorious strange gods, Old Testament, and still exists present day, was called idols. The people were taken with idols, worshiping stone idols, wooden idols, figurines that could do nothing for them. Today, we have the problem with idols in the form of material things, homes, cars, money, jewelry. It's nothing wrong with the desire and having those things, but if we worship those things more than we worship the true and living God, Jehovah, then those things become our God. Then we have the false teachers in some of the churches and the synagogues and the temples and worship centers teaching and preaching false doctrines, false teachings other than the gospel of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And so we have all this confusion going on. That's why the children have to be trained at an earlier age when they can be mentored and they can be taught and they can take in the teaching that the parents teach them about God like a sponge takes in water. And if we don't do it then they grow up confused as they are now. So those things that we see, people seek that which they see, and those things can destroy them rather than seeking after God, Jehovah.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's scary again. But it sure sounds true. And so if they're not seeking after the God Jehovah, who Psalms 83:18 calls the master God, the one and only true God of the universe, that sounds scary. Now, you have a lot of, let me just stay focused in one area with this sex gen generation. If they have made the decision to change genders, and most of them said in this article that they have the blessing of the parents. Now, these parents would have to have been born in the 60s, I would say 60s, 70s. What do you think was going on during the 60s and 70s that changed the trajectory of men and women who decided to have children? What happened? Let's just go back, 60s, 70s. I'm hearing in my spirit some type of revolution. What kind of revolution or false leaning occurred in the 60s and 70s to even produce children that would want to say, I'm not a man, I'm a woman now. I'm not a woman, I'm a man now, and you can't do anything about it. What type of environment was going on, especially in America, that was formed on Christian principles by men who treasure Christianity and a living God? What was happening 60s, 70s that might be part of the problem, Colonel Harris?
There was a social evolution that came about in the country wherein younger people wanted to rebel against the traditional society, traditional norms. They started not working, hanging out, smoking marijuana, using other kind of drugs. I remember two names in particular. They used to call themselves beatniks or either hippies. And they just lived carefree. For the most part, didn't work jobs. And I remember visiting New York, and they would just hang around on the sidewalk and in the parks and just lay out and smoking ganja, smoking weed, marijuana, and all that stuff. And they were just a carefree, shiftless society, didn't work, didn't believe in work ethics, didn't care about nothing other than themselves and who were in their social stratum that was hanging out like them, and the beatniks and the hippies. And so they are the ones that had kids during that era that were part of that offspring that has ushered into the present day society that we're in. The norms became lax, and they deviated from it, and that was the first outward social rebellion against traditional society in the United States, which changed most major cities' environment and their cultures and lifestyle of people that lived in those large urban cities like Miami, Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, Atlanta, to name a few others. That was the transition. That's what happened back then.
Has that done not only the families any good, but has it done America any good?
No, it has corrupted the morals, which are the norms of the American society, the standard norms that one should work, one should get an education, one should be responsible, one should be respectable, one should respect their neighbors, love their neighbors as themselves. Got all that went out the window, and if it feels good, do it. That was the norm of the 60s and 70s. That's what they did. It felt good. They did it. They hung out, and they ended up, a lot of them, being addicted to drugs. Some died, overdosed. Some went to jail. And society just experienced a tremendous social depression, for lack of a better term. And it took a while to come out of that evolution. And we haven't fully recovered from that, because now we're back into it again with this LGBT approach. And so all of that began. What has been, and will be again. That's what King Solomon said. So now life is a revolving cycle. So we're back now through the era of the 60s and the 70s, where the kids now, they're different, they're younger, but they're more inclined toward this identity crisis, not knowing whether they're male or female, or desiring to be a male or female, but being a mixed gender. And so they're truly confused.
My God, it doesn't seem like there's any way out for those that really do not want to honor a God. They have no way of putting anything worth on the table, because God is against certain practices and way of life, and that is just it. And that's why the movement to get the Bible discredited. They have come out, I saw this yesterday, claiming they found some, now this is really crafty, now you know what, and it takes money for this, but there's a claim now that some have gone into a cave and found some remnants of the Bible, and they're trying to say that Jesus really wasn't a full man. Now you know what, that takes a big push, a lot of money, and it takes a lot of powerful people to try to discredit the Bible now, since so many have decided to come out of caves, closets, cabinets, and everything. What do you think about that? Why now are various wealthy individuals trying to discredit the Bible, saying, well, we done found this now, so that ain't right. That never was right. That was error. Paul didn't really mean that. Why are they attacking the Bible like that now? And especially with a lot of people that have never read it, don't know nothing about it, wasn't taught. That's millions of people that might be falling for that satanic okey-doke. Why do you think that's happening, Colonel Harrison?
Because it's their desire to take over the minds of people who don't know anything about God or don't believe in God. If you can destroy the integrity and the belief and the trust in the number one book of the world, which is the Bible, then you can capture the minds of people. The King James Version was printed in 1611, translated from Greek to English, which is the oldest tradition of the traditional Holy Bible. And so if you can remove the teachings, the thoughts, the essence, the doctrines, the principles, the oracles, the statutes, and you can read commandments, that are inculcated within the Holy Bible. If you can just erase that in the mind of people as you delete things from a computer and reprogram them with the LGBT, whatever else confused agenda they may have, you can brainwash them, you can control them. Yes, it takes money. Yes, it's people in position of power and authority that's doing this because they want to take over the control of the mind of people and be able to control and manipulate them as they see fit. And they can't do it as long as the Word of God is on earth and it's incorporated, inculcated, and it's printed in the Holy Bible. The number one bestseller ever known to man. They've tried to destroy it in the past, but they've never been able to totally get rid of the Bible.
No, they haven't, but they are attacking the Word of God. Do you think God, as we know him, is just sitting up there twiddling his fingers? Do you think he's getting ready to show up and show out? Do you think he's not going to have the last laugh here, the last hoorah? He said that he is going to destroy those ruining the earth with dialogue, weapons, all kind of mayhem. Is that something that we are overlooking? Is he going to just sit there and do nothing? What is going to be the outcome of humanity that has spit in God's face and continue to teach false doctrine? What in the world is God supposed to do, going to do, or has prophesied he will do?
God is waiting for his appointed time. God is the creator. You said it earlier, Doc, in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, specifically chapter 2, book of Genesis, first book of the Bible. God is waiting. He has a set time. Man is the highest creation of God on the earth. God created mankind just a little lower than the angels in the explicit image, likeness, and so forth of the Godhead. God is a spirit. Mankind is flesh. And God doesn't want to, unless he has to, destroy that image of himself, that flesh called mankind. But he has an appointed time. He's waiting for others to be gathered in, to accept him, to believe in him, trust in him, and become saved. And if not at the appointed time, those who don't will be cast into what is called hell, hellfire, the lake of fire. Those who are saved will be received up into the glorious heaven and live in eternal life. So it is written, so it will be done at some appointed time when God sees fit. And I don't believe that it may be very long the way things are going.
I don't either. And while it's a little scary, it's something I think, and I'm not God, long overdue. What do you think that the younger generation is learning from those that have nothing to teach? What do you think can be done to really encourage them, even though they might have grown up in a disastrous family that did not know God? And of course, if they didn't know him, they could not, cannot honor him. And I don't know where our young people's focus will actually end. A final comment, Colonel Harrison.
There's a remnant that the Bible teaches that will be saved. It's going to be prophecies. The young children, men and young men and boys and girls will prophesy, and it's going to happen. It's going to come to pass. So there's a remnant, a few that will be saved, but the majority will go away of the enemy, Satan, and will perish. We still have hope. We still have time to try and reach out to some of these young folk and try and witness to them, teach them the principles that are in the Bible. Prayerfully, they'll receive it. All won't. If they receive it, it'll be a blessing to them and their soul and their lives. If they don't, then eventually they will perish. But we have to keep trying because the young folk are the future. And now things are not definitely going in the way that God would have them to go. But we are obligated to try, teach, preach, reach, show by example these young folk how the Bible says they ought to live their lives.
Thank you so very much, Colonel Harrison. You've been listening to the Global Vision for Living Today, Block Talk Radio. We will see you next week, same time, Saturday. God bless you. Have a great weekend.